Please go ahead and get out your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, we read how Saul began his persecution with the stoning of Stephen. And in chapter 8, how his persecution has caused brethren to scatter across the lands. And that's what we read about here in Acts chapter 11. That when these brethren spread across the land, had scattered, apparently they had brought the word to fellow Jews, but not necessarily to those Gentiles in the region. But they did in the cities of Cyprus and Cyrene. And let's pick up reading in verse 22. Acts 11:22. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians.
Really good to see everyone this evening. I appreciate your presence. I pray that we will be encouraged as we continue the series that I started about 3 weeks ago on the examples of the fruit of the Spirit. I've been trying to take individuals to be examples of two of the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight I want to talk to you about Barnabas, and how he was a great example of kindness and goodness. And so let's just introduce the fruit of the Spirit. It's how we think. It's who we are. It's how even tonight we interact with people. This is the great work of God in our lives, to change how we think, how we... Something wrong? We good? Okay. All right, very good. All right, sorry. And to change how we think about everything. And really, this is significant because we're hard to change. We've all been raised in a certain background. We're used to certain things. We used to think in certain ways. And you follow television. You follow the movies. You know, you're all about yourself. You take care of number one. You seek vengeance against those who hurt you. You know, but that's not the way we do as Christians. As we see God through the Holy Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit, singular fruit. We're looking at the elements of this fruit, but if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have all of these elements. And so again, as we're talking about, in this case tonight, about Barnabas, he had all of the fruit of the Spirit, but we're going to look at two tonight. Let's read again to your hearing the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, here's our two tonight, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I need to be changed, even tonight as I stand before you. I need to be constantly exposed to God's Word. And I'm hoping everyone here tonight has a tender heart toward God's Word. Because if God is not changing you, you're going the wrong direction. You and I are going the wrong direction. And here's where God's going to mold us to. He's going to change our thinking. And tonight we'll talk about working with other people. I like how a term is used to describe the work of the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 1, we're going to be looking at it in a minute. But you can tell who has the fruit of the Spirit. You can tell. You can see in how they speak and what their interests are, how they work with others. I find it interesting in Acts 4:13, when the Sanhedrin had the apostles stand before them and they stood eyeball to eyeball, jaw to jaw, cheek to cheek, and they said, "We can't help but teach what we've seen and heard." They were bold to these men. They thought they were going to intimidate them. And they came to this conclusion in the latter part of Acts 4:13, it says they realized they had been with Jesus. Brethren, when God works in our life, we're going to have a lot in common. And in 2 Corinthians 1:22, I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. There's a phrase here I like. I think it gives the idea of the text. It says, "But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has commissioned us and has put his seal upon us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." The person who has humbled himself, who is grateful and joyful and sees the love of God, the person that is saying every day, praying to God, "Lord, help me, help my attitudes, help me to be right before you." You see a person who does that and lives, they're going to be different. And let's talk about that difference tonight. Barnabas, when we talk about the idea of kindness, Barnabas was kind. Brethren, I'll have to admit to you, this is a big test. How many of us really are aware of others? I realize sometimes I can be dumb as can be. You know, even in marriage, you know, husbands, you can relate to this sometimes, that sometimes we are oblivious to the needs of our own mate. And here's somebody we live with and we've committed ourselves to. Now imagine somebody that's just passing by in the congregation or in the congregation. Do you even want to know about the needs of another? Believe me, as I speak, even that's hard. I can't know about everybody, but you know what? If I have the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to care about your burdens and your joys. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 12 talks about. If one member is exalted, all are exalted. If one member suffers, all suffer together. You see, that's kindness. Kindness from the lexicons is described as a gracious attitude, goodness, kindness, as moral integrity, uprightness, honesty. And he goes on to say to do what is right. I like what one lexicon said, or at least one writer about Greek words. He says, "The sympathetic kindness or sweetness of temper that puts others at ease and shrinks from giving pain." There's something about an attitude when I really care about you. Fruit of the Spirit will give you that. And you see, if we don't have fruit of the Spirit, man, you know what we'll do? We'll keep score. We'll be the person that, yeah, you're not giving me what I need. You don't care, but you know, be careful there. Fruit of the Spirit's going to say, this person may not be caring, but how can I help you? I don't cast you off. And if you've hurt me, if you've sinned against me and asked for forgiveness, I will forgive. I certainly want what's best for you. Colossians 3:12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Brethren, this is challenging. And as you are immature, you kind of end up sometimes living in that land of throwaway people, don't you? Sometimes as you're immature, you kind of write off somebody and you kind of give them the cold shoulder or maybe worse. But maturity will help you here, spiritual maturity. We don't give up on others. And brethren, let me tell you, I'm just like you. I hurt too. I have feelings. And it's easy to give up on others, to throw somebody into the trash bin in our mind. But not if we have the fruit of the Spirit. You may say, "Well, Larry, I just don't have time. I don't have the energy. Worry about what everybody thinks, what everybody's doing." Oh, well, you sure about that? I'm not saying you take on everything in another person's life. But aren't you glad some people came into your life that emptied themselves and cared about you? I dare say there's not a one of us who we have people that we finally remember that helped us in our growth in the Lord. And I want to tell you, that's what Barnabas was about. As we first read about Barnabas, we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, him described. And it says, "As Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated "son of encouragement," A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and it laid it at the apostles' feet. We're going to come back and look at some elements of this verse, but let's just talk about his name. Son of encouragement. You know what? You ever give somebody nicknames? There was a time, I've always been a little crazy, but when I was in college many years ago, in the ancient days, we used slide rules, so I'll show you. No calculator, so I'm telling you, I tell the students this all the time. You know, I like to talk about my age and how long. Long time ago, I was a guy that if I had a car, and I'm sure my parents knew what they were doing and not giving me a car, I had a bicycle. But I would have been chasing tornadoes. I like to track them and do things, and I was nicknamed the meteorologist, I guess because I talked about that a lot. I got real excited when tornado warnings came, you know. That was a characteristic. But let's suppose, you know, people who really know you gave you a nickname. What a great name. Matter of fact, this name stuck. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Is that us? We have any Barnabases here? I hope we do. And you see, it's not just somebody who is the son of flattery. You know, there's a difference between son of encouragement, son of flattery. Son of flattery, yeah, I'm going to pat you on the back so I can get something from you, but I really don't care about you. He was a son of encouragement. Because he ended up, his actions backed up his words. You know, brethren, it is a challenge. I'm telling you, as a congregation, all of us, as we look at our growth, this is a mark of real growth in a congregation. Where we can go from that immature, worried about our own hurts, of getting out of ourselves and supporting others. That's the mark of real maturity, of individuals, of congregations, where it's not all about me. Paul talked about Timothy, another man who had the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 20 he says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Brethren, let's pray. That one day will be us. Each of you individually, when you start thinking about others, how many of you are here? And if you're here right now and you're hurting, say, "I need somebody to help me." That's okay. We want to help you. But what a great thing when you're going to be the one coming to this congregation and you're looking out in your life, who can I help? That is what kindness is like. You know, I sometimes see immaturity. I see sometimes people laugh at others, make jokes about others. I see sometimes somebody even may stumble and get up here in a public way and leading singing or doing a short talk or maybe reading scripture, and somebody makes a mistake and somebody laughs at them. Maybe even make a joke about them. That's not kindness. We need to make sure that we have those that are kind and they care about others. You know, when you work with the souls of men, it requires great care. In Acts chapter 11, the passage we read and you're hearing, imagine this: for the first time, after the conversion of Cornelius, for the first time, Gentiles are being brought into the church. And I know many of you might not have been here several months ago when I preached my lesson on Jew and Gentile. But man, that was a sensitive situation. Gentiles are coming in the church, but they've got no background in morals. They've got no background in family. They have no background in scripture. And now you're bringing in Jew and Gentile into a local congregation. That required somebody that was wise and kind. It required Barnabas. When we read about the number being converted, verse 22 says, "The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem." And who are you going to send out? Who are you going to send out that's going to be caring, that's going to be kind, that's going to be building? You send a Barnabas. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all. Now notice his direction of his encouragement, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Let me say something about Barnabas. He was fair. He was kind. But he also pointed to the Lord. You know, a kind person will feel the hurt of another. Will feel the excitement of another. Will look to a another and want to give to them as a parent would to their own child. It's very interesting. You know who one man that Barnabas helped mightily? The man who wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. We've already had a lesson on him. But remember in Acts 9, you know the context. Acts 9, Paul became a Christian. He became a Christian. And now he comes to Jerusalem, the place where he had been doing all that persecuting. I appreciate the reading tonight and the background. Paul had persecuted the church at Jerusalem. Now the number one persecutors come to Jerusalem. And brethren are not going to give him the time of day. I think maybe wisely, because they thought this might be a trap. But who's the man that had enough courage to put his life at risk and to be open-minded enough to help a Paul? It was Barnabas. And so you know the account. That in verse 26, they didn't believe he was an disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And you know the rest of the story. But I'm going to tell you what, Barnabas was open-minded. Brethren, I want to say again, we can be way too quick in being judge, jury, and executioner on people. We've got to be careful about that. Kindness will help us. You see, kindness doesn't look to get, you've got to get something. You know, I'm going to help you if you help me. Jesus talked about that in his ministry. Luke 6:33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And over again, Jesus talks about this. You lend somebody that pays you back, that's your buddy. Sinners do that. My brethren, let's not be cliquish. Let's not be the kind of people that we got our own little group and we're going to help each other. And I'm really kind. Well, I'm glad you're kind to people who love you, because the sinners, the worldly people do that. And that's still good. I'm glad you're not throwing away everybody. But look at what God is like. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Could God use us in bringing anyone back to God? We talk about another area. And by the way, there's another preacher that did a lesson on Barnabas. I went online, looked at this point, got this point from him. It's a great point. I never thought about this. So I'll give credit. I wish I could think of his name right now, but it's gone out of my mind. But he talked about how Barnabas was not, how can I say it, so sensitive to be quickly offended. And maybe put it this way, as I have phrased it, that he avoided pride and bitterness. Look at this. Acts chapter 6. He pointed out in his material that, you know, when you end up in a situation where you're selecting elders or selecting deacons, or you're going through a situation at a local congregation, I want to tell you, woo, you are walking through a minefield. You know why? Because there are those who are selected through that process of congregation looking out from among them. There are some who are selected, there are some who are not. In the case of Acts 6, it really wasn't a matter that you select everybody who's qualified. But you're to select seven. And that doesn't mean that you left that. You know, there's some people that weren't selected, didn't have these qualifications. So in this case, you were selecting a few of the qualified. But in Acts 6 and verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, Barnabas was one of those, right? Was Barnabas one of the men in Acts 6? He wasn't. Whoa, now Barnabas, why didn't they select you? Barnabas, is there a problem? The Holy Spirit said this about Barnabas later in Acts 11, 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Well, the Holy Spirit said this man is full of the Holy Spirit. He's qualified. Why wasn't Barnabas selected? Because they only needed seven. And you never hear of anything complaining for Barnabas. But another thing that's very interesting, Barnabas could bounce back from some tough situations. Barnabas had a disagreement with Paul. He went on the missionary journeys with Paul, and then there was an occasion to another journey, and Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. And the disagreement was over a young man by the name of John Mark. John Mark had evidently gone with them on an earlier trip, and I'm going to tell you what, going on a missionary journey is taking your life into your hands. You're going through dangerous territory. You're going through roads where criminals can come and take you and rob you and overpower you. You're going through situations in terms of the transportation process, in terms of the kind of diseases and other things that could help, much less the Jews or somebody else trying to kill you. And here, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark had gotten scared in an earlier trip and gone back, and Paul didn't want to. You know, Barnabas, again, who was right here? I don't know. The Bible continues to record what Paul did, but you know, what we read here is that they had a contention, verse 39. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted one from another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and then talks about Paul went on another direction. But let me talk about John Mark. Paul didn't want to use him anymore. I'm not going to dispute the judgment of either one of these men, but you know what Paul did before he died? The last known epistle that Paul wrote, he had a lot of brethren who forsook him. He needed to have some brethren come to him that he could trust. Listen to what he said about John Mark. This is Paul. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. Give Barnabas credit here. He didn't give up. He didn't give up on his brethren. As I've said before, when you become a kind person, it's no longer about you. You're not the center of the universe. You're willing to stand, get out of the way for the greater good. And by the way, we won't take time to look at Acts 11, but basically, you know, after Paul was, you know, accepted in Jerusalem and Barnabas ended up going to Antioch, it was Barnabas in Acts 11 that went and brought Saul to Antioch. Barnabas didn't care who got the attention. He didn't care who was the top dog. He wanted to see the work done. He was about the work and not about himself. Now let's talk about the other fruit of the Spirit this evening. Goodness. In many ways, this lesson completely goes together. I would describe this kindness being the attitude of heart and goodness being the action. And that's what many of the lexicons would say, that is really the doing part of kindness. Goodness, in the lexicons, it means a quality of moral excellence, being good, goodness, uprightness. As a quality of relationship with others, willingness to give or share, generosity, goodness. You know, one of the things you know about Barnabas, he did speak good words. He had known any Barnabases. I have. And I have no doubt you have. I can remember when I first became a Christian. Men and women. And my associates, young people, talking to me, encouraging. I can remember when I first started preaching and brethren had to truly endure sound doctrine and tried to hear me speak. I put many asleep. I can remember, I'm going to tell all the stories of them. And, you know, I wanted to preach and there were people that encouraged me. You know, we read about God in 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 16 it says, May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every, notice, in every good word and work. I like that phrase. How about our words? You know, one of the things you're going to see with Barnabas, we've already talked about it, he would encourage people to be purposed to the Lord. If you look at Ephesians 5, notice this. Here's what we're to do. As we give words of encouragement, it's not just any words of encouragement. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, this weekend in Auburn, I guess, would be one of the big drinking weekends. I'm not saying everybody that goes to events this weekend is in drinking, but, you know, you see situations, big events in the area that involve drinking, involve other things too. And it's interesting, I appreciate some of you. Some of you have spoken out on social media. Some of you have spoken out in other areas. You're going to find Christians challenge you. You're going to find Christians that are going to say, that's not what you ought to do. And somebody say, well, that person's not very encouraging to me. I will tell you what, the idea of encouragement is also exhortation and rebuke. That ought to be encouraging if you want to do what is right. When I speak of people who encourage, I'm not talking about weak-spined people to tell you what you want to hear. We're assuming that you love the Lord. And so that's the kind of man Barnabas was. In Jeremiah 23:14, there's a warning. You don't want to be around those who call themselves Christians that are going to rubber stamp everything you do. In Jeremiah's day, that's what the whole the nation had become. The people who ought to have been leaders had compromised. Jeremiah 23:14, also I've seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of the evildoers. If you're a Christian, you don't want your words to strengthen people in paths they ought not to be going. But see, Barnabas was a man, as we've already seen earlier, with purpose, serve God. With purpose, discern right and wrong. With purpose, do right. And a Barnabas is the kind of guy you would want around you. You're just glad when they come into the room. You're glad when you've got time to be with a Barnabas. As again, another lexicon says, zeal for goodness and truth in rebuking, correcting, and chastening is the idea of this goodness. Let me tell you another thing about Barnabas. His brethren are more important than his possessions. First passage we read about Barnabas, we read it earlier, but notice what Barnabas is doing. We know he's got words, but notice what he does. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Probably many of you students don't know much about real estate right now. It's kind of interesting. Of course, you know a little bit maybe about rent. and a little bit, but you know, you think about buying your own house. I can remember when I was a student hearing what the cost of houses were. You know, there were some houses going as high as $50,000 back in my days. That was unbelievable. Today we smile at that, don't we? But now imagine, here's somebody who had land, I'm very confident, a piece of land. I don't know if there was a house on it or not. That's not a small amount. There were brethren in need. Barnabas' money backed up where his mouth was. And let me tell you, there's some things just not only about money, but our time with others. In James 2 and verse 18, in the context of helping someone in need, James says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Barnabas was such a man. He was not covetous. He knew that his life did not consist in the abundance of things. And let me say something about that. You know people like that, don't you? You know people like that. And I pray within the church you've got friends like that. And by the way, I hope you marry someone like that. You want to marry someone with the fruit of the Spirit because they're going to have to be giving and forgiving and patient with you. And they're going to give. And you need to be the giver too. People trust those that really care. You know, again, you see almost the same point I made earlier. Remember the point about Jesus and his ministry about, you know, what the world does, same thing here. Matthew 5:46, but if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, why do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Kindness and goodness. You help others because you love souls. You love God. You're reflecting the will of God. You just don't stay around those that are easy to be with. That's the mark of maturity. And by the way, when Barnabas gave, he didn't sound a trumpet. You say, well, we understood he sold a piece of land. I want to guarantee you this. Barnabas didn't go sound a trumpet and say, look at this. You know, the Holy Spirit revealed it. He revealed it later. So that we might understand the kind of heart that the fruit of the Spirit brings. Now, let me tell you another thing. Beautiful thing. Seek the fruit of the Spirit. What's your future going to be like? Some of you seeking a mate, haven't found a mate. Most of you here in college don't have a job yet. Don't know what job you're going to get. You don't know where you're going to live. You don't know the future. Let me tell you what you can do when you pursue God with all your heart. When you with purpose serve God. It'll change the path of your life. Here, Barnabas, this encourager. Remember we read earlier, here there was these Gentiles that believed. Who did they send for? They sent for Barnabas. Verse 22, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Let me tell you something. Barnabas wanted to do this. It changed his life. What was Barnabas doing before this? What was his job? What relatives did he have? Did he have relatives nearby? Did he have a wife? Did he have children? I don't know. We don't know about that. But he'd be kind of like us. You're just getting up from one place and going, moving to another. I want to tell you, his whole trajectory of his life changed. You know why? He loved to encourage. Let me tell you about one man. You heard this. You'll hear it again. I can remember 1975, as a young Christian still going to school in the Birmingham area, I started attending a congregation at that time called the 77th Street Church. They later have moved to another part of town. And there was this old guy. He looked old. He didn't dress like I did. He was a used car salesman, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with being a used car salesman, but he wasn't the most educated person. But you know what? He loved God. And Bud Sparks cared about Larry Rouse. And not just me, but a lot of my other students with me. He'd ask about what I'm doing and where I'm working. I can remember I'd make a talk and I would afflict brethren with a talk. And rather than laughing and sneering, oh, wow, now he came to me. That's good job, Larry. You're doing good. And then there would be gospel meetings in Bud Sparks. If there was a gospel meeting in the area, he would call me up and call others. Hey, I'm going to the gospel meeting tonight. Would you like to go? Bud died of cancer, I think, maybe in the 80s. Still remember him. Who's going to remember you and me? Words can make a big difference. And as we pointed out, it's the fruit of the Spirit that will move us. Now, let me talk about Jesus. Just this example. When we really are committed to getting out of ourselves and helping others, God will take you places you'll never dream you'll go. Jesus, spoken of him in the servant songs, Isaiah 50. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Hey, listen to that. That's an encourager, isn't it? That's Jesus. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. And then notice the next thing that happens to Jesus. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I'll not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I'll not be ashamed. I'm not saying when you set out on a path of encouragement that people are going to beat you up and hurt you, but I want to tell you something. You go down that path, and you work with people, you will be hurt. But the hurt's going to be nothing compared to the encouragement you will find. Paul went to Antioch, and guess what happens next? The church in Antioch had a decision to make. It's almost, I think years ago I heard there was an advertisement in a paper about this journey to try to go to the North Pole. And this was back in the 1800s, 1900s, where you likely are going to die. Or you could die. And I remember this thing about, if you want to go through hardship and risk your life, you go through this and this, it was all these hard things. If you want to do this, come and apply. And there's all kinds of people that applied. Here Paul and someone else was selected to take a very dangerous journey. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate. Now notice it, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul. Wait a minute, it should be Saul and Barnabas. Maybe the order is not significant, but Barnabas is named first. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Thus then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Do you realize the time element it took to take one missionary journey? Do you realize the dangers involved in some of these places? Paul was stoned in one case. There were people, they were beaten and thrown in prison numerous times. They've suffered. And they were joyful. They helped spread the gospel to the world at that time. They had to be out of themselves. Let's draw a conclusion. Fruit of spirit is powerful. It takes time. It takes maturity. But let's sit from Barnabas' standpoint. Let's look back on his life. We don't know when he died. But I want to tell you some things he did. He was there. By the way, reading the book of Acts, you read about Barnabas to a good bit of it. Beginning of Jerusalem, there was Barnabas. We read about him. How many, could you imagine some in Jerusalem years later after Barnabas had died? And maybe they got up in assembly just like this and says, I want to tell you about an old guy. It was Barnabas. Maybe there were those who crossed the finish line because there was a Barnabas. And I want to tell you, brethren, today, if you want to start, let's say, how do I start? How about right here? Tonight. In this assembly, we can. Not during the assembly per se, we sing, we hear, but at the assembly, as we're together as Christians, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why don't we tonight be sure to speak some encouraging words to those that we know and maybe some we don't know. We can be a Barnabas. And you know, as Barnabas looked back, I'm going to tell you, he reads the book of Acts. You know, how did another church get established? How was the gospel taken to the whole world? Barnabas was at the part of that, at the heart of it. I don't know. I sometimes wish, could we add to the book of Acts a little bit? How did Barnabas and John Paul do? John Mark do? How did that go? We don't know. Except we get that hint later of how, again, that John Mark ended up being strong. One other thing I want to tell you, brethren. Everybody needs Barnabases. Your elders, your preachers, your deacons, your Bible class teachers, the godly mothers who are raising children, godly fathers that are providing for their home, students that are here working through school. We all need Barnabases. One of the worst things you can do is start allowing your relationships to collapse. And you start pushing back from Christians. We need each other. Paul had times of loneliness. Again, we'll just note the verse, 2 Corinthians 7. He talks about outside. He says, indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. You know how he was comforted? Titus came. There was an encourager bringing encouraging message about brethren doing right. And he ended up rejoicing. Acts 18, there was an occasion where Paul was praying. He was in fear. We think of Paul as Superman. He's not Superman. He's like you and I, with fears and weaknesses as well as strengths. And he needed to hear some encouragement. In this case, the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. But notice this, for I have many people in this city. How many times had Paul said, pray for me? No man is an island. I'm thankful for Barnabas. And I pray that we will develop these attitudes. It is the big, big, big challenge as Christians. None of us have this in any perfect way. But let us take the next step in our growth. Got one more lesson before we finish this series. Tonight we give you the offer to become a child of God. Conversion is a change of the heart. Conversion is understanding your sin, grieving over that, finding repentance that comes from a grief of sin, trusting in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And beginning, you don't become a Christian because you're perfect. You become a Christian because you're ready to go through the changing process. We remain on this earth to be changed. If you're here tonight as a Christian and you won't change, and you see things and you won't budge, you need to find repentance. Because you're not fighting me or someone else. You're fighting God. But now as a Christian, knowing your weaknesses, and you repent of that. Ask God's forgiveness. We get back up. We struggle. Christians are not perfect, but we are pursuing this. Christianity is a life of change. And the more we change, the more we're humbled. The more we change, the more we need to learn. And the more we appreciate the kindness and goodness of God. That is always willing to forgive. If you've not yet become a Christian, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved was the Great Commission. We'd love to assist you in that or any need you may have as we stand and sing.